Today I'm going to talk about the authority of the sons of God. And we have been doing a series for the last 5 weeks, and tomorrow is the last session on it, about how Jesus showed his authority in the Gospel of John by doing specific signs. When the basic premise of everything we've been sharing is that if Jesus is the Son of God and has authority, then we do too. I want to start out with opening up in John chapter 1 and in verse 12. Because we believed in his name, and so, like he told his disciples, he gave authority to them. Verse 12, but those who did receive him, did we receive him? Yes. To those who believed in his name, have we believed in his name? He gave authority to be sons of God. Now, a son of God is someone who has this authority. So we want to look at what authority is. And I found a definition by Kenneth Hagin in a book that he calls The Believer's Authority. And it's simply delegated power. Delegated power. Another definition is the right to give orders or make decisions. And, for example, if a policeman is standing out in a crossroads and an 18-wheeler truck is coming down the road, but he's got his hands up, or he's standing in the middle of the road with his hands up saying stop, that 18-wheeler truck stops for the policeman because he has authority, he has power delegated to him to say, you need to stop right now. Another example I thought of is in my company that I work for. My boss, Kurt, often is an umpire in an arbitration. And because he's an expert witness in the construction area, he's delegated to be the one to make a decision whether this person needs to be compensated or something, whatever the decision is that needs to be made regarding the construction issue. He is an umpire. He makes the decision, and that's been delegated to him because of the situation in the arbitration. But once he makes the decision and he makes an award, it stands. So the sharing that I'm going to be doing this morning is going to be a comparison of Jesus and our authority, but using some verses that have the word authority, but also have the word doulos. Because a doulos is a slave who was set free, but then after he was set free, he decided to commit his life back to the master for the duration of his life. And he accepts the responsibility in the household and then is given the entitlement to use the master's name. So this is what we're going to see. We have the position of son, just like Jesus Christ. So vertically, we are sons. But on a horizontal level, we can choose to be a doulos, a servant. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, Paul calls himself a doulos. Peter, Jude, Epaphras, James, they all call themselves a doulos. So although they are sons, definitely they are also decided. They have decided to be servants. And so this is not just for leaders either. You can be a doulos if you're not a leader. And I want to share four things that everyone can do, and they parallel what Jesus said he did. So we're going to look at these four things and first read a verse or two from the Gospels, and then we'll read and see how the same exhortation is in Acts and the Epistles. So the first thing that a doulos can do is that he can be a spokesman for the master. And that means to boldly preach and teach the word of God. So look at Matthew 7, verse 29. And I'm reading from the Aramaic translation. For he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as their scribes and the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees were teachers, and they were standing up saying what the people should think. But Jesus was teaching as one who had authority. In other words, he had delegated power from God straight to the people. Now look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. This is in the prayer after the disciples were hauled in before the scribes and Pharisees after healing the man at the temple gate, beautiful. They came back and had this great prayer meeting. And during the prayer, this is what they said, verse 29. And also now, Lord, look and see their threats and allow your servants, that's doulos, to boldly preach your word. Boldly preach the word. Not just sort of sometimes here and there, maybe I might speak something, but just boldly preaching and teaching what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, the words that come straight from God. And because they prayed this prayer, there was a great move of God right after this. Now the second thing, that's the first one, so we can be spokesman for the master. Now the second one is that a doulos is a master's personal representative. In other words, not your own ideas. It's the representative of the master. And another way I thought about this is that I have authority to sign checks for my company, KGA. Now, the name on the account belongs to my boss, and he's responsible for it. But because I have been given authority to sign those checks, it is as though my boss did it. When I put my name on that line, then people are going to pay that check. And that's the same way. We are personal representatives of the master. We are sent ones. So look at John chapter 13. All through the Gospel of John particularly, it talks about how God sent Jesus and now he is sending us. Or he sent his disciples first and then he's sending us. Verse 16, John 13, verse 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, there is no servant, or doulos, who is greater than his Lord, and there is no apostle who is greater than him who sent him. The one who sent him is the master, or the one in charge, but the representative is the one who can do things for the master. Now look at Matthew 28 and verse 18. This is at the very end, right before the ascension. Verse 18, Jesus came near and spoke with them and said to them, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And as my Father sent me, I send you. The next first part of the verse says, go, therefore, disciple all nations. One of the things that we are sent to do is to disciple people. But isn't that amazing? He's saying, all authority is given to me, but as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. And the disciples who were listening to that right before the ascension, they did exactly what Jesus said. They went out and they discipled the nations. Now let's look at how it's described for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 5. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and we preach of ourselves that we are your servants because of Jesus or for Jesus' sake. We preach Christ Jesus our Lord, because he's the master, he's the Lord. And we only preach of ourselves that we are servants. So servants on a horizontal level, on account of him, because we represent him, because he sent us, because he's the one who said, go, disciple all nations. And when you are a personal representative, just like I was talking about with the checks, we can use his name, or we represent his name in everything we do. And that's in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. That his word may dwell and live in you richly with all wisdom. King James is always still in my mouth. And teach and instruct yourselves in psalms and in hymns and in songs of the Spirit, and sing with grace in your hearts to God. I love that about count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Verse 17, and everything that you do in word and in work, do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and give thanks by way of him to God the Father. There's so many times where it says to give thanks, and that's what the prayers and everything were about this morning. But here it says, in everything that you do in word and in work. Now, is this distinguishing that only leaders do this? No, anybody can be a doulos. And as a doulos, you are the master's representative. The third thing that a doulos does is he carries out the master's work with obedience. And there are several categories of authority that I want to just take a look at here under this briefly. The first one is Jesus said that he could forgive sin. And that's in Matthew 9 and verse 6 when he was talking to the man who was paralyzed. He said, but that you will know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, delegated power. He said to that paralytic, get up, take up your pallet, and go to your house. Now, our sins have been forgiven in Christ, but ongoing, we can offer this forgiveness of sins to people who have a need for it. And that's in James chapter 5 and verse 15. And the prayer of faith will heal him who is sick, and our Lord will raise him. And if any sins were committed by him, they will be forgiven. What a great message that we have for people to tell them your sins can be forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. There is nothing that God won't do for you. That was in the manifestation. He has given us his righteousness, and we can stand approved before him without guilt or shame or condemnation. What a great message. Another category that we have authority over to carry out the master's work is over unclean spirits and every pain and disease. This is in Matthew 10 and verse 1. And he called his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every pain and disease. Now, this was before the day of Pentecost. When he sent out his 12 disciples the first time, it says he gave them authority. He gave them delegated power. And they didn't say, oh, we can't do that. That's not ours to do. They said, yes, we will do that. And they obeyed. And there were so many miracles that happened. Again, Peter was at the temple gate. Peter and John were at the temple gate, beautiful. And he says to them, man who was lame, he says, such as I have, give I thee. He knew that he had authority, and this is why I'm talking about it today, because I believe that we need to really put this in our heart and realize that we don't have to settle and sit back and say no and just take everything that's going on, but we can carry out the Master's work with obedience. And when he says we can do something, then we can do it. The first time, one of the very first times I ever learned this about commanding and having authority over a sickness was when I was in Germany and we had met this couple. He was German and she was from the Netherlands, and the wife could not speak English very well. So, and really at that time I couldn't speak German very well either. But their child was about a year old, but she looked like she was maybe only 4 months. She was very, very small and had a lot of trouble with a sickness almost from the time she was born. And the doctors had tried to fix things, and anyway, they were very distraught about their child. So I said, yes, we'll pray for her. But because I needed to pray in German, I didn't really know exactly how to explain it. But God showed me this picture that there was a hole in her gallbladder, and I had no idea how to say the word gallbladder in German. So I must have, I don't remember exactly, but I must have tried to describe it somehow. Whatever I said just ignited faith in both of them, really, and the child was instantly healed and just really started flourishing. It reminded me of the situation where the nobleman's son, where he had come to Jesus, when we had gone over that one, the record of the nobleman's son, and there was nothing, no distance. Actually, there's nothing with language that prevents God from healing people either. The third kind of work we can do is we have authority over the power of the enemy. And that's in Luke chapter 10. Verse 19. Behold, I give to you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Behold, I give you authority, that's the delegated power, to trample on serpents and scorpions. So any devil spirits, anything that's caused from Satan or from the authority of Satan, we have power over. We have the power. And I was also reading a book by Andrew Womack called The Authority of the Believer or something like that. And he was describing it like, we don't go and ask the power company to turn on the lights every time we want some light in a room. We know that the power is already hooked up to the house, so we just flip the switch. We don't have any trouble believing that the light will come on when we flip the switch. So that's the same thing with having authority, is the power is there. Now, just go flip the switch. Acts 26, verse 18. This was the commission that Paul had, but we also have. Verse 18. That you should open their eyes so that they will turn from darkness to the light and from the authority of Satan, he has authority, to God. And they will receive forgiveness of sins and a portion with the holy ones by the faith that is in me. Our job to carry out the Master's work with obedience is to turn people from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God. Now, Satan, he is the god of this world still. And sometimes that's why we don't see things change immediately. But as the case is, you know, with what's going on in the world today, we by our authority, each believer standing together, taking and holding on to their authority and carrying out the Master's work, what we do is we are restraining or holding down the power of the enemy as the whole body of Christ. Once we are gathered together, after that, it is going to be so dark because all the lights of the world will be taken away. It tells that in 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 6. And I wanted to read this morning because I believe it's just a real encouragement to us to continue to stand, continue to claim this, continue to say, yes, I am going to do the work of a doulos. Yes, I will be obedient. I will be a spokesman for God. I will be his representative. I will do what the Lord shows me to do. Verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians 2 says, and now you know what holds back this day, the day of the Lord, that he should be revealed in its time. The Antichrist is going to be revealed after its time. For the mystery of wickedness or lawlessness has already begun to work. It already is working. You can see it. However, it will work by itself when that which now holds it back is taken away from the middle. When we are gathered together, the Antichrist will all start happening. But we are holding down, we're restraining, we're hindering the work of the mystery of wickedness, which is already working right now. Praise God. Can you imagine how dark it would be if there weren't believers as lights of this world? So let's carry out the Master's work with obedience. That's the third thing that we all can do. And the fourth one is that we can serve one another with love. And this is on a horizontal level. There are about 10 times in the New Testament where it says love one another. And so we're going to read in John 13 what Jesus had told his disciples. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, be loving one to another. As I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if love be among you one toward another. He also said, continued on that same vein in John 15, and in verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know what his Lord does, but I have called you my friend, because everything that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you that you also should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, that you should love one another. Now he tells the disciples that he's going to call them his friends. When we are born again, we become sons of God, and thus actually Jesus' brothers and sisters. So it's an even tighter relationship than being called a friend. But this is something that we can do. We can serve one another with love. We can love one another. And that's in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Just one of the places. Now, you were called to freedom, my brothers. Only your freedom should not be an occasion for the flesh, but you should be serving one another in love. And that's the verb form of doulos, douleo. You should be serving one another in love. You should be doing the things that, these are only four things that I've been talking about that a doulos can do. I want to summarize it, I guess, in Mark chapter 16, which is a commission right at the end, also before the ascension. And starting in verse 15, Jesus said to them, Go to all the world and preach my gospel in all of creation. There we go. Speak the words with boldness. Verse 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will live, and whoever does not believe is condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Remember, we were talking also about how John, the signs in John, are designed to help people to believe so that they can have life. Whoever believes and is baptized will have life. These signs will follow those who believe. Here's some signs. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. Praise God. And then verse 18 is very interesting. It says, and they will capture snakes, and if they should drink a deadly poison, it will harm not them, and it will not harm them, and they will place their hands on the sick, and they will be made whole. This word for snake or serpent here is from a verb in Aramaic that means to show, and it could be translated as a pretender, a snake or a serpent representing a devil spirit. They're pretenders. They try to usurp the power that we've been given. And that word capture there is to take, like you would capture someone in war. So we can capture devil spirits that are pretenders. They are trying to take over the authority that we have been given in Christ. And we just have to say, no, sorry, that's not going to happen. And if they should drink a deadly poison, that is literally a poison of death. And it's a figure of speech where the poison is also representing something else. And it's representing here poison words. And that's used throughout the Bible as sometimes poison is used to represent words. So if they should drink deadly words, like media, things that are floating around, people's fear, all of these words that are being used as a poison to poison people's hearts, it will not harm them. And then they will place their hands on the sick and they will be made whole. So shall we speak God's words or poison words to echo what the world is telling us? Shall we stand for God and be a doulos servant on a horizontal level to our brothers and sisters? I think it's a challenge to not only everybody listening, but to whoever is listening to the recording and also to me, to just decide today to walk out even more with our authority as sons of God, with this delegated power, and use Jesus Christ's name to just walk in the same authority that he walked with. I wanted to close by just going over the 8 signs. Tomorrow we're going to be finishing the 8th one, which is actually after the resurrection, and sometimes it's not even included in the sign. But the lessons that we learned, I think, are really wonderful to see in just one by one. And during the incident of the water to wine, we learned that God knows the proper timing and he's not influenced by relationships. That's another thing that's part of the obedience that we need to have as a servant, is to see what the timing is. During the healing of the nobleman's son, or the servant of the king, there was no obstacles to the power of his word. No time, no distance, and also we saw today, not even language. With the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda, the length of time of the sickness was not an issue, and Jesus really took authority over idolatry and over the idolatry of the Roman culture at that point and rescued this one man from 38 years of being lame or sick during the feeding of the 5,000. Not only did Jesus supply their physical needs, but then he teaches them that the true bread of life, how he is the bread of life, is spiritual, and we need that sustenance every single day. Then he proceeds to walk on water, and that shows the authority over natural faith and all fear, over danger. And he teaches then, too, about how he's the living water and the true authority over fear comes from not looking at the storm, but looking to what God says is true. And remember, Peter walked on the water at that point too. Then in the healing of the man born blind, it was very interesting how we saw that the Pharisees did not acknowledge the light and that Jesus was the light of the world. He's also the good shepherd because he rescues this man who all his life had hopelessness about ever seeing, and he gives him his sight, and that part of the sight that he gives to everyone is a spiritual sight. Then in the raising of Lazarus, we saw that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrected one who brings life. And because of the resurrection, we have the authority to preach the word about how you can have access straight to God. You can have peace. You have justification. You have righteousness. And you have the love of God burning in your heart. So that's, you already have it. We already have the delegated power and authority to speak those things, to heal people, to serve others. Tomorrow we're going to learn about how the in the miracle of the fish, that the authority Jesus had was to over the expectations of the natural world. So let's just go over it one more time here. As a doulos, we have delegated power to be a spokesman for the master, and everyone can do these things. Boldly preach and teach the word of God. We can be the master's personal representative and sign checks for him. Use his name in everything that we do. We carry out, the third thing is we carry out the master's work with obedience. And not with eye service, like it talks about in Ephesians 6, where a servant stands looking at his master to see exactly what he should do. We can forgive sin, to share with people that their sins are forgiven. We have authority over unclean spirits and every pain and disease. And we have authority over the power of the enemy. Flip the switch. And then number four, serve with love on a horizontal level and love one another, even as Jesus said, even as I have loved you. So God bless you.